The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sex Out Loud. I am Raymond Johnson. I am the associate producer of Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino, and I am filling in today for Tristan Taramino. I was here a couple weeks ago. She is unfortunately now dealing with a severe outbreak of shingles. I think when she told me that, my response was, you really don't half-ass anything, Tristan, do you? She, unfortunately, she wanted to be back live today, but her healing progression is making its own timeline, and she is honoring that. So I am here filling in today. I'm very excited, and now I feel the need to quote Jay-Z, which is, you could be anywhere in the world tonight, but you're here with me, and I appreciate it. Before I introduce my guests, I forgot to mention the last time that there is a show I wanted to tell everyone about on the National Geographic Channel called Original Sin Sex. This six-part event series shows us how sex collides with and is often the motivating force behind all things in our world, from science to politics to pop culture and social interaction. Using interviews, archival footage, filmed recreations, and animation, they uncover the surprising ways in which sex impacts humanity and how things have changed over the past 50 years. There's been three episodes. The first episode is called High Tech Sex. Episode 2 is about government in the bedroom, and episode 3 is all about the sex ed wars. You should check it out, in part because it's entertaining, and in part because our beloved Tristan Taramino is one of those smart talking heads that's interviewed throughout the show. She did some consulting advising on it as well. The next episode is Sick, Sex, and Advertising, and that airs August 26th. You can watch the show on National Geographic Channel or on Hulu, which is what I did. Okay, today, let me tell you who I have on the line with me. I'm very excited. Lee Harrington is an internationally known spiritual and erotic authenticity educator, gender explorer, eclectic artist, and award-winning author and editor on human erotic and sacred experience. He's been traveling the globe, Seattle to Sydney, Berlin to Boston, teaching and talking about sexuality, psychology, faith, and desire, and believes you deserve passion and connection in your life. His books include Playing Well with Others, Your Guide to Discovering, Exploring, and Negotiating the Kink, Leather, and BDSM Communities, which he wrote with Melina Williams. He also wrote Sacred Kink, The Eightfold Paths of BDSM and Beyond, and Shibari You Can Use, Japanese Rope Bondage and Erotic Macrame, amongst many others. Lee has been a passion instigator, academic, adult film performer, world-class sexual adventurer, outspoken philosopher, kink bondage expert, and has been blogging about sex and spirit since 1998. Welcome to the show, Lee Harrington.
Oh, it's great to be on. Thank you so much for having me, Raymond. And my love goes out to Tristan listening at home.
Yes, yes. I kind of can't believe you haven't been on the show before. I think you've been on the list, and there were some near misses from some other collaborative books that have come out in the past. So I'm glad that we finally got you on here to talk. I read this book this week and I loved it. It's a really great, handy cultural competency guide. It's a well put together sort of 101, but I mean, I'm someone, I transitioned 15 years ago, which I realize is kind of where I started. And I felt in some ways I was thinking about that era while reading your book. And I felt like, wow, this book really summarizes all several years of live journal information that I read on the internet.
Well, and that book, which is Traversing Gender, Understanding Transgender Realities, was really important for me to write because it's not just that 101 dialogue and talking about the first few years of transition. It's understanding the diversity of transitions out there, that somebody who has had a gender awakening at 8 is having a much different journey than somebody who's having a journey at 80. Right?
Yes.
Or that somebody who is going through these adventures in different countries or in different ethnic histories is going to have a different journey. And having a dialogue about all of these things, whether it's racial inequality and trans issues, or whether it's talking about skills that people who are allies and friends and coworkers and medical professionals can be doing today, I wanted to have that 101 with enough, 201 in there to give people the idea that there's more out there to learn, and do it all with cartoons inside it. Like not silly cartoons, but, things that you can have graphics to get what we're talking about.
Absolutely. I love the illustrations that are sort of contained within it. Who did you do those?
No, it's by an artist named Andy Fogut. He's an amazing artist, and he and I are actually collaborating so that next year we're going to have a follow-up coloring book that's a gender awareness coloring book, title yet to be determined, that's going to be coming out with a couple of pieces from that book modified to being coloring pages, but a lot of other great and fun stuff that is currently in collaboration.
That sounds excellent. I think that would also could be useful for working in the mental health angle, to have some like meditative coloring of, trans bodies and things like that or whatever, to sort of help deal with that. I want to go back to the title of the book, which I realize that is not in your bio, so I did not say it.
Yeah, you grabbed the one from
Wait a minute, I read the book. I did not say which one. So,
It's okay. I do it too. You're fine.
No. But it's funny because that was also like one of my questions was, let's start with the title. What does this mean to you? Traversing Gender, Understanding Transgender Realities.
Well, like I said, there's been a lot of discussions around what's the reality for trans people, and that word kept leaving a little bit of a little bit of a sand in my oyster, and I couldn't figure it out until it turned into a pearl. And that pearl was that there are realities, right? You can't ask, for example, a transgender woman who was assigned male at birth, but whose reality, personal reality, is that they are female, or their reality period is they're female, is not going to have the same journey as a transgender man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just because of how we were socialized in our life. Absolutely. And how we're going to be treated because of, the fact that feminism hasn't succeeded yet. And all of these kinds of things that are at play. And if we don't break it down to the fact that there are so many different realities. Mm-hmm. And so given that there are, the word traversing, it called to me because it's like going on a path that's full of pebbles and rocks, and occasionally boulders. Mm-hmm. And we have to traverse our way along this path, or the paths that we're taking up the mountain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved that. I mean, that was one of the first things I noticed, was that realities is plural, that you were presenting material that does encompass all these things, which also, like you said, there's such a general difference between what a trans man and a trans woman experiences. They don't know what it's like to be an agender person. They don't know what it's like to be a gender nonconforming person exactly either. But then it starts to open your mind and you start to realize that, like, oh, but even two FTMs aren't going to have the same reality experience either.
Well, right? I think that breaks down to any two people
exactly
on this planet. Yeah. And for me, a lot of the book was also looking at the fact that having gender awareness and becoming aware of when's the first time you as a human being, whether you're transgender or not, you as a human being, when's the first time you thought about actually being a gender, mm-hmm. right? Rather than having it be, you know, oh, she's a pretty girl kind of concepts, rather than it be, oh, I am a girl. Transforming it from the label placed upon you to a self-awareness, to me, is a huge piece of this conversation, because so many people on this planet that I talk to that are what gets referred to as cisgender, right? Cis means same. That's all it means, mm-hmm. right? So same gender that you were assigned at birth. You know, the doctor said, it's a boy, and you identify as male. That's all cisgender means. But I talked to a lot of cisgender people, and I said, when did you realize that you were a man? And it's this question that gets asked to transgender people all the time, as compared to asking that little boy, when's the first time you realized you were a boy? Right. Was it when your father said you need to man up?
Yeah.
Right? Was it when your mom said, don't cry like a sissy?
Mm-hmm.
Was it when, you know, your uncle said, oh, you can't wear that outfit? That's what girls wear. Like, where was that awareness for you? Period. And I think when we start having that conversation for everyone in this society, we start developing an awareness of gender, period. And that's a key piece we need to have these other discussions.
Yeah. Why do you think that some people have a problem with the word cisgender?
So I saw a great piece recently in a race awareness context that said that discussions of equality for people who come from a place of privilege feel like inequality and attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have lived with a base reality where, no, this is just how things are, you are other, to have people say, no, all of these get labels, because if you're going to label us, you get a label too.
Right.
We all get labeled, feels like, no, we are the, you are other.
Right.
You are strange. We don't deserve a label.
Right. For me, I think about, like, whenever I try to explain to cisgender people about what sort of the cumulative effects of being deemed abnormal by society, not the norm. And I think they always trying to be like, but it's great that you're not normal because you're special and you're great and they're this and whatever. And then as soon as you kind of turn it around and you're like, oh no, cisgender is no longer the norm. It has its own name. It's a little bit like, oh no, that's not okay.
But that is not to infer that all people have that journey, that, you know, folks whose gender aligns with how they were assigned at birth.
Right.
Because I meet a number of people that are like, oh my gosh, I get a label. That's really exciting, because now they can have an intelligent dialogue.
Right. Absolutely. I don't think anyone should have a problem with the word cisgender, but I do feel like it's a word that some people get a little, like, you can sense the hairs on the back of their neck going up and they get a little upset by it. So I kind of just wanted to get that out there since you mentioned the word right away. So, all right. I do want to remind everyone that we are actually talking to you live right now, right this second. And you can call and talk to us too. The phone number is 866-472-5788. You can also post questions on Twitter at SexOutLoudRadio. I'm going to dip over there on the break and check out and see if there's any comments or questions over there. So we're going to take our first sponsor break. But when we come back, Lee is going to talk more about his book, Traversing Gender. So stay with us.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Since 1971, the Pleasure Chest has firmly believed that everyone has a fundamental right to pursue sexual fulfillment. With boutiques in New York, LA, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest is committed to offering free weekly workshops through their Pleasure Ed program, which is open to folks of all genders, experiences, and orientations who are looking to expand their sexual expertise. From butt sex basics to spank someone happy, going back to school has never been so fun. Attend any workshop at the Pleasure Chest and receive 15% off your purchase that night. Bring a date for a fun and enlightening night out, or fly solo and pick up some skills for yourself. Their highly trained and sensitive staff is ready to help you find what you're looking for in a safe and judgment-free environment. Check out PleasureChest.com for a complete listing of upcoming events nationwide, and use the coupon code Tristan at checkout to enjoy a free massage candle with every purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Raymond Johnson, associate producer for the show. I'm the substitute host today, filling in while Tristan is out sick. I do want to mention that this show is brought to you by the amazing store Pleasure Chest. You may know of them from their locations in New York, Chicago, and LA, where they hold amazing free workshops. Coming up this week in Chicago on August 24th, Blowjobs and Beyond with Antoinette and Carrie. In Los Angeles on August 17th is Basic Bondage and Sensation Play with Victor and Carly. And then also on August 17th, but in New York, is the G-Spot and Female Ejaculation with Bex. So you can go online to thepleasurechest.com to get more information on those workshops and see what else they're offering. I am right now talking to Lee Harrington. Hi, Lee.
Hi.
Author and educator Lee, and we're talking about his new book that just came out June, Traversing Gender, Understanding Transgender Realities. Okay, so right before the break, we talked about cisgender. I kind of want to do another little like lightning round where I'm gonna throw out a word, and I want you to I want it to be a little bit of like a free association definition. Does that make sense?
I dig it.
All right, so we're just gonna start off simple. Transgender.
That's one simple.
Just a definition, free association. You know, how are you using the word in the book? How about that?
So transgender gets used in two very different ways, and I break it down. One is somebody who was assigned one gender at birth and has gone through some sort of medical or similar transition to be able to be the other, right? Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm usually talking about, but that is one definition. The other one is any gender experience in which one's gender assigned at birth does not match in some way, shape, or form their personal gender experience.
Okay. So it's a bigger definition. So it doesn't mean that you're only transgender if you take hormones. It does not mean you're only transgender if you change your name, things like that, right?
Exactly.
Okay. How about another word that gets put in a lot? Cross-dresser.
Cross-dresser, somebody who enjoys wearing the wardrobe that is other than what they are expected to wear in culture.
Okay. I like in the book talking about how there's the sort of a newer way of thinking about clothes, which is that like, I am a man, so what I'm wearing is men's clothing. I get around this sometimes too. Like sometimes, you know, when people say weird things out in the world, like oh, that's a girl's shirt or whatever. I sometimes like to do the like, really? I didn't know that clothing had genitalia. Like, I sort of like to kind of make it real weird and awkward. You know what I mean? Like, why does that shirt have a gender? But it makes me think about, do you think cross-dressing is going to be a term that is going to be around for much longer?
So there are cross-dressers do cross-dressing for a diversity of reasons.
Right.
And for people who are doing it as political action or as a form of art or whatnot, I think you're going to have a very different charge behind it.
Right.
Or I have found that there is a different charge behind it than for folks that it is an erotic experience.
Yes.
For whom the taboo of wearing clothes other than what they are deemed appropriate to wear is hot and sexy because of that taboo element.
Right.
And so I think that second one, even if all clothing becomes completely, you know, every free for all, or we are only allowed to wear one outfit in the future, whichever one it is.
Right.
I think that erotic charge through textile and through expression of gender using fabric or materials on our body, I think it's still going to exist.
Right. That's true. That's a very good point, because there's the sort of the fetish aspect of cross-dressing, which is what you're talking about, the sexual charge, the erotic charge. And that is, like, as long as there's some sort of taboo, the taboo will change, but then there will be someone who crosses that taboo using clothing and fashion in that sense. Right. There maybe might not be as many like support groups in the future for like people who identify as cross dressers per se, but anyway, okay. So next word on my list is passing.
Passing is originally a term that was used referring to African American individuals who could, quote, pass as being white. It is used in transgender communities to refer to somebody whose gender transition has them be able to, quote, pass as the gender other than what they were assigned at birth.
Okay, great. I want to also, one thing you talk about in the book that I think is something that maybe cis people don't think about, although I've also had trans people say this to me, so I'm just going to say something to you that I hear a lot, and I want
Bring
to address what is problematic about, which is, oh my gosh, Lee, I wouldn't have even known you weren't born male. You totally pass.
Mm-hmm.
So explain why, when I hear those comments, it kind of makes me feel shitty.
So there are some people for whom that is an affirming experience.
Yes, yes.
Because that moment of, quote, passing can feel really like, wow, I'm finally seen the way that I see myself in the mirror. That's amazing. However, for a lot of transgender folks, being told that is not unlike going up to a woman of any sort and saying, wow, I would never have known that you were a woman. Mm-hmm. It's kind of rude. But on top of that, it reminds some transgender people of the struggles they've had to go through and the pain involved with that. And the third thing I've found is that it can feel invalidating that somehow they weren't as much of a man or as much of a woman than other men or women, because you'd never say that to other men or women.
Yeah. I think those are all totally exactly things that I have experienced and felt. I also think that there's also one other piece for me where I feel a little like I don't want to perpetuate that this is a good thing, because I have a lot of beloved trans people who do not pass in my life.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have that set up as a sort of ultimate goal that you have achieved 100% trans because now you pass as cisgender.
Well, it also reminds me of there's a movie called Trans America and starring Hilary Duff, and Hilary plays a trans woman, and she ends up at an Avon party, like a makeup lessons party with a whole bunch of other trans women.
Yeah.
And they're sitting over, like, she and a friend are talking over on the side, and she looks over at one of the women across the room and goes, "Poor dear, she'll never pass." Mm-hmm. And the other woman says, "That's our Avon lady."
Right.
Which is a big reminder that no two women look the same.
Exactly.
And it does enforce the stereotype of what a woman's supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What a man's, and there's no two ways that a woman is supposed to look, or a man is supposed to look, or that any person is supposed to look. I saw a great little cartoon recently that was like a pug sitting next to a golden retriever, sitting next to a greyhound, and it said on the top, if we are not going to compare dogs to each other and blame a pug for not being a golden retriever, why would we do that to people?
Right. Absolutely. It's about sort of embracing the phenotypic variation in being human, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. One random quick note, that was actually Felicity Huffman in that movie.
Thank you. Not Hilary Duff.
But thank you.
It was Felicity.
I kind of want to watch the Hilary Duff version of Transamerica now.
My God. You're right. It was Felicity.
Maybe the
my sincere apologies.
It's okay. Yeah, there was a moment like, oh my God, Hilary Duff did a trans movie and I didn't see it. And I realized what was happening. So that was the only reason why I brought it up. But
okay. No, thank you.
All right. No problem. Okay. A couple more related to that. Stealth. What?
Stealth is a person who passes that does not share with others that they have a history of being transgender.
And then,
go ahead, please.
Oh, and now I was going to say, just, I want you to talk about disclosure. And this one you can go a little bit broader, because this is one of the things I liked in your book, is that you kind of open up. Disclosure is kind of, well, I'll let you talk about it a little bit.
Well, I believe that disclosure is when we share something that other people don't know about us with them. Right. And in the case of a transgender individual, somebody who either their medical history is that they're transgender or that their journey involves their transgender journey. And I say that because there are people for whom the experience of being trans is a medical condition and a sentence. Right. It's just something that they were born with and they move forward. That's how it's treated in Iran, for example. It's a medical condition.
Right.
And so for somebody who is disclosing, it is sharing that journey with someone else. That's all it means. Now, for some people, this is an incredibly vulnerable experience. They are sharing something that they don't share publicly. They are disclosing this privately, just like somebody discloses their HIV status, or somebody would disclose, their history of abuse. Those are things that are deeply intimate topics that you wouldn't share with other people without permission, because those are deeply intimate things to them. And to do otherwise would to be, letting go, like it would be harming that relationship and harming that person who you're sharing information about.
I also like how in that section and in other sections you talk about the concept of privacy and how privacy is not the same as a secret, right? Can you talk about that a little bit too?
Yeah, that we sometimes think in our culture that people should share everything with us. And if they don't, they're somehow harboring a secret, right? That, well, why didn't I know that you had a degree in engineering? You're an artist. I should have known that. No, I just because I haven't told you that I have a background as an engineer doesn't mean I'm hiding that I was an engineer. But when we say that suddenly with gender, we impose this thing. Or somebody, like if we're talking about other dramatic medical conditions that deeply affect your life, well, why didn't I know you were diabetic? You should have disclosed that to me. Well, it's none of your business.
Yes.
Unless it affects you. And the only people for whom someone being transgender affects is that person, their medical professionals that they have to deal with on a medical level, and potentially their family members and lovers and partners.
Yeah.
Beyond that, not really your business. Perhaps the person working at Social Security. But I know for myself, my mother passed away recently, and I had to deal with her estate. Mm-hmm. And I had to disclose my history and my former name to my banker who had had no idea and no reason to know.
Right.
And that moment of having to disclose it, I had to also be at the same time saying, just to let you know, this is not something I had to tell him. This is something I'd like you to not share with the world at large because other people don't know. Right. Monique knows, but I don't even know if your coworker who knows Monique knows.
Right.
So I'd like you to check with me and Monique before you tell other people. So is that cool? And he said, yeah, that's fine. Right. But I had to tell him because he didn't know not to tell other people.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's always an interesting dance, I think, as a trans person too, that sort of like, I think about as like trying to control the message as much as possible. And we obviously can't to a certain extent, like, you know, but in instances where we know that if we can just point something out to someone or say a few words, it can actually make go a long way as to like not creating a situation for ourselves where lots of people know that we did not intend for them to know.
It can even happen. I know folks for whom that has happened at hospitals, right?
Right.
Or at doctor's offices where they tell the intake person, they fill out the form and it says Robert on it because that's what their ID still says, or that's what their health insurance still says.
Yeah.
And they fill out Robert, even though they go by Felicity.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they hand it over. But that piece of paperwork then gets handed to the nurse who then calls out Robert.
Right.
And to be able to be seen, they have to disclose their information with everyone in that waiting room. And if you're in a small town.
Yeah.
That could be dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not even small towns. If you're just in a rough neighborhood.
Right. Or just anywhere, really.
Anywhere. Well said.
I think that a rough neighborhood is not even really, you know, when it comes to trans issues, the world is a rough neighborhood for us, right?
No, it can be. And it's really surprising where is going to be accepting and where won't. I have a very dear friend of mine whose son is transgender, and they were moving from a really metropolitan area to more rural area. And they were calling the schools ahead of time saying, hey, this is my kid's history, talking to the principals. Mm-hmm. This is my kid's medical reality, et cetera. Is this going to be a problem in your school? And this really rural, you know, almost farm-like area that had ranches and whatnot said, nope, we've had a trans girl here before. This isn't an issue.
Yeah.
And they just kind of, as compared to the previous school, that had never dealt with it before, even though it was in a really metropolitan area.
Right, right.
And so you can't tell where it's going to, and in this case, it was just like, no, it's another kid, what's the issue?
Right, and that they have all the protocol in place, which is, I think, mm-hmm. often the most important thing, you know. All you need is, like, a little script and a binder for everyone to follow, right?
Well, in that case, she was saying that it was also really amazing to watch this really rural area give love and support to everyone who needed. There was a house fire. People brought food to that family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's just, it was that kind of community. And so, kid is different. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really, it was a really good reminder for me.
Yeah.
That I can't tell by looking at somebody's wrapper, right, how that package is going to be inside.
All right. We're going to take another break. And we'll be back in just a couple minutes to talk some more with Lee Harrington. Don't go away.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Since 1971, the Pleasure Chest has firmly believed that everyone has a fundamental right to pursue sexual fulfillment. With boutiques in New York, LA, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest is committed to offering free weekly workshops through their Pleasure Ed program, which is open to folks of all genders, experiences, and orientations who are looking to expand their sexual expertise. From butt sex basics to spank someone happy, going back to school has never been so fun. Attend any workshop at the Pleasure Chest and receive 15% off your purchase that night. Bring a date for a fun and enlightening night out, or fly solo and pick up some skills for yourself. Their highly trained and sensitive staff is ready to help you find what you're looking for in a safe and judgment-free environment. Check out PleasureChest.com for a complete listing of upcoming events nationwide, and use the coupon code Tristan at checkout to enjoy a free massage candle with every purchase. courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Hey there, Sex Out Loud fans. This is Raymond Johnson, associate producer of the show, filling in for Tristan Taramino. I'm talking to Lee Harrington about his latest book, Traversing Gender, Understanding Transgender Realities. And I want to dig into just a few of the specific topics within the book. The first is the topic of trans kids. Can you talk a little bit about where the landscape is right now for children who are coming out or who are identifying as trans?
Yeah, so in the United States, which is my base of operations, and this is different in other countries.
Right.
But in the United States, there are a couple different schools of thought. One is that children should be put on, who are entering into puberty, right, that period right before, you know, breasts are grown and or body fur grows, et cetera, that little window, should go on hormonal suppressants, mm-hmm. right, so that people can sit with decisions before they make any other modifications to their body. And these meds that are used were already developed for what's called precocious puberty, mm-hmm. which is for when a 7-year-old girl starts to get breasts.
Right.
And their mind is not ready.
Right.
And their socialization is not ready for that. And it's called precocious puberty. And so it's the same medications that are used is what's done medically speaking. Now, on a social level, and the reason for that, actually, a quick little, is because any sort of surgical procedures or going on hormones that are other than what your body is producing on a daily basis are dramatic body modifications,
right.
just like having a big tattoo. And sitting with that decision, whether you're a child or an adult or a parent supporting a child, sitting with those things and realizing that they're going to be for life. Even if you go off those hormones, there will have been changes to your physiology that stay for life. Make sure that this is what you want to do before you do it.
Right.
That's the reason that they make that medical choice for many trans children.
Right.
Or in this case, trans teens. Now, for younger children, there's a really amazing track at the Philadelphia Trans Health Conference and another one at Gender Odyssey in Seattle. And I can't recommend either of them enough for people whose children are on a gender journey of some sort. Mm-hmm. The thing that gets looked at by child psychologists and by pediatricians is consistency, insistency, and persistency. Is this ongoing, really pressing, and it affects how they live their life and how they feel, and it's something that's all the time. It's not just Saturdays.
Right.
Now, this is a little, I mean, that breakdown makes a lot of sense when it comes to people who are, like, who are transgender in a binary fashion. Right? Folks who were assigned male at birth and are now, you know, realizing I'm a little girl.
Right.
This dialogue makes sense. Now, it's a really heated topic when it comes to children who identify as multigendered or gender neutral.
Yeah.
Or gender queer. Or gender spectrum of some sort.
Right.
Beyond those two binary experiences.
Right.
Because what is persistent can be confusing if your gender is very fluid.
Right.
And part of the discussion that happens then with the psychologists and with the parents and with pediatricians in conjunction with actually asking the kid what their reality is,
yes.
rather than assuming, is why do you like wearing those clothes? Is it because they're pretty, or is it because this is what girls wear? Like, what's the reason behind the behaviors? Because sometimes adults project upon children's behaviors assumptions and stories that have nothing to do with a child's actual desires and reality.
Right.
And so taking that moment to actually ask, what's going on for you? Mm-hmm. And sometimes when, you know, little Billy says that he wants to go by, you know, Barbara for a while, it might be, quote, a phase. Or it's a, I want to try out what this name feels like, and Barbara feels like a boy's name to me.
Right.
Or it might be, I'm playing dress up. Or it might be, I know my name is Barbara. I know I am a girl. And they are confused as to why you don't see them as a girl.
Yeah.
And those are all very different things. Now, the problem is a lot of people will assume it's number one. Mm-hmm. Assume it's a phase.
Right.
And that can be really harmful for children of category number three. When you keep saying, oh, it's just a phase, oh, it's just a phase, to them, out loud to that child,
right.
It can be really, it can really feel like my parents don't see me. And even my parents don't love me.
Right. And I would say that phrase is sort of harmful, even if it is a phrase.
Rock on, hell yeah.
It is, just shut up about it. It's not your phase.
But now, a lot of parents that I see are going through this journey out of a place of fear for their child's safety.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I respect that, and I understand where that fear comes from, because you see these horrible stories in the media of the sheer number of transgender people who are murdered each year in this country and around the world. And we see our children and go, I don't want that to happen to my kid.
But I also think it's important to point out that just like having those fears and needing to protect our kids, we don't need to be engaging in a different type of subtly abusive behavior by bringing the fear of trans into even these small moments.
Absolutely. You know? That's exactly it. Well said.
Right. Thanks. I want to go a little bit to the other side, the other end of the spectrum. Let's talk about trans aging. What are some of the issues for us trans folks as we get older and look at older generations?
Assistant care facilities. Mm-hmm. There have been incidences where people's care providers have been unwilling to refer to them as their gender of reality, who have had to go off hormones because of new medicines they have to go on. So there's those things on a purely medical issue, on a caretaking issue. There is issues around for people who have been stealth. How do I out my biological reality to people who might care for me? Mm-hmm. And deal with that cognitive dissonance, that wait, how does my brain deal with this?
Right.
And so those are the three ways that I'm seeing a lot of dialogue happening right now, but there's lots of others.
What are some of the ways we can sort of start to think about dealing with this, like to prepare our society for our retirement years?
Number one is right now, plan ahead for your own needs, wants, and desires. Mm-hmm. Put in your, you know, like a lot of people get, and I encourage everyone, especially people who are on a gender journey, to prep a health power of attorney. So that if you are incapacitated, you have in your power of attorney that says, I will receive care in congruence with my gender identity. Because that's one of the things we can do today. To plan ahead of time. And the other one is to start supporting people and raising funds and do training for your local, you know, if you're a trans educator or if you're just available to sit down and have a conversation with your local retirement homes.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, because a lot of times people are hired or doing these diversity trainings in a lot of spaces, and that's great, but it's a good idea to think about like broadening it to include retirement homes, senior facilities, assisted care facilities, things like that.
Well, and a lot of doctors, I have a dear person to me who's a doctor, and her entire training in medicine as a pediatrician, mm-hmm. her entire training was 2 hours of sex.
Yep. That's everyone's sex.
That's everyone's sex, right? And so it means that you end up with doctors, let alone anyone else, who believe that trans people don't exist.
Right. Absolutely.
And that perpetuates these kinds of concerns. So I would say literally start today to help the silent generation.
I do want to talk about trans sex. It is Sex Out Loud, but I think we're going to do that after our final commercial break.
Yay, sex!
We're actually going to talk about trans sex. Okay, tune in. We're going to hear some more message from our sponsors, but when we be back, we'll be back with Lee Harrington.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Since 1971, the Pleasure Chest has firmly believed that everyone has a fundamental right to pursue sexual fulfillment. With boutiques in New York, LA, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest is committed to offering free weekly workshops through their Pleasure Ed program, which is open to folks of all genders, experiences, and orientations who are looking to expand their sexual expertise. From butt sex basics to spank someone happy, going back to school has never been so fun. Attend any workshop at the Pleasure Chest and receive 15% off your purchase that night. Bring a date for a fun and enlightening night out, or fly solo and pick up some skills for yourself. Their highly trained and sensitive staff is ready to help you find what you're looking for in a safe and judgment-free environment. Check out pleasurechest.com for a complete listing of upcoming events nationwide, and use the coupon code Tristan at checkout to enjoy a free massage candle with every purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody. We get to have a lot of great conversations on the show. We've had a lot of great ones today, even. I feel lucky to be a part of it now for 4 years, and we would not be able to produce the show every week without the support of our sponsors, such as The Pleasure Chest. So thank you, Pleasure Chest, for helping us build this great catalog of sexual conversations with all sorts of experts and creators. And thank you, Pleasure Chest, for all the thousands and thousands of orgasms you have provided to us through the years as well. If you are in need of more orgasms, go check out pleasurechest.com. Speaking of orgasms, I'm talking to Lee Harrington.
Yay! I am pro-orgasm.
And let's talk about trans people and orgasms. Let's talk about sex and trans people.
Absolutely. And that was actually one of the really important things for me for the book, was to actually put a chapter about sex in there, because it gets left out of so many dialogues. And for me, I mean, when people talk about like trans people and sex, part of it gets focused on like, how do we use safer sex products when our bodies don't quite look or feel like that?
Right.
If trans women have like very large clitorises that are, say, 4 inches long, putting a condom on it and then writing it might, for some trans women, be body discordant. And for other people, be totally hot. So again, it goes back to there's no right way to have sex. But I got turned onto this really hot concept by a gentleman by the name of Scotty Thompson, who's a sex educator out in the Twin Cities, where I watched him do this in a class, and I'm like fanning myself as he's doing it. He took a whole bunch of lube and warmed up this beautiful woman who had an extensive clitoris, and warmed it up and down with, and it was, which was super hot, with his gloved hand, and then laid down a dental dam on top. And then went to town riding up and down the length of her clit. And sucking on the tip of the clit just a little bit. And what was amazing for her as she looked down is she saw a guy using a dental dam on her. Just like any other woman. And so it was like, it was really hot, safer sex. It was really hot body affirming experiences. And the two of them just got to have a hot time. Or taking latex or nitrile gloves, cutting off the fingers, but leaving the thumb. And then opening up where the fingers were and turning that into a dental dam with a condom the right size for a number of trans men who have been on hormones for a period of time. While keeping other fluids out of the way. Though as a note for cisgender men, this works as well if you're going to do analingus or do playing with the balls by using that same exact technique if they're on the, if they're on a frame that that would be a good fit for. So... you know, like, I love that kind of stuff. And the big thing for me with sex with trans folks is asking folks what they want and what they're in the mood for. You know, put a hand on a thigh, and as you reach up, encourage them to move the hand where they want them to if they don't like saying words. Because for some people, talking about what they want it called can be weird. For some trans men, they want their cock sucked, right? Not licked, which can be an assumption for some people when you see someone with, you know, a vulva and or a vagina. And some, for, you know, for a lot of trans men I know, that's the front hole. Or it's the manhole. Or it's the bonus hole. Or they can't think that it's even there because it is so dissociating.
I think sometimes I also think about, and I think you talk about this too, is focusing your words on the verbs and the action and sort of the sensation of things. So it doesn't really matter whether you call it manhole, cunt, pussy, or whatever. You know, you can just say, I want you inside me. Like, that's more of the sensation of being, you know, things like that, or talking about that. So sort of thinking... people to think creatively about how we see and feel and talk about our bodies differently, which benefits everybody, not just
exactly. And how, and what would you like to wear while we play? Is great for everyone, because I know tons of people who like to just pop their cock out of the front of their jeans or half pull their jeans down for that really hot quickie or whatever. That's what they find hot. And being completely naked isn't as salacious. And so that concept applies across the board. And to me, it's about having hotter sex for everyone, just like you were saying.
So I do want to say, you, this is not your first book. This is your latest book. This is not your first book. Your other books are Playing Well with Others, which you co-wrote with Melina, who's a very much beloved guest on this show as well. And also Sacred Kink, The Eightfold Paths of BDSM and Beyond. Will you talk about that book a little bit?
Absolutely. When I first got involved with the BDSM community, I had I was exploring the pagan community at the same time. And I was exploring the, this and noticing that these altered states of consciousness were happening in both, right? That moment where time would dilate, or when you would have those big flashes of light, or that, you know, you would go out into a nothingness or feel like you were out of body. And I started to say to people, but this is what's happening. And folks were like, no, these are, spirituality has nothing to do with it. And so for me, I wanted to break it down into eight major categories and talk about not just how rhythm or breath or rituals appear in sexuality, but also how they appear in spirituality and the places where the two cross over. So I break it down by eight categories, and there's, you know, essays of different sorts, there's explorations. And for people who have a hard time reading like academic-y style text, which there is a little bit of that in there, everything in italic is porn. So you can just read through the whole book, and there's teaching stories, aka porn, for there's a teaching story for each one of the sections, so you can get an idea of, oh, for rhythm, it's two leather men on a dance floor with one guy like beating on the other guy like a drum and fading out into the music while he does so, and then having a passionate embrace at the as with each other to kind of bring him back into his body.
Nice. All right.
Yeah.
I'm into it. Okay. Real quick, we're almost out of town. I was out of time and you're about to go out of town. Tell me about some of the events that you have coming up where you're traveling to.
Well, for folks who are interested in finding more about my appearances, you can go on passionandsoul.com and go /appearances, or just click the button on top that says appearances, and it's going to be right there. But this week, coming weekend, I'm going to be in Austin, Texas for an event called Gwyn, which is a BDSM conference. Following weekend, I'm in Eastern Washington for an event called Primal Ordeal, which is a paganism, body modification, hook suspension, and BDSM crossover event. And then I have other events coming up in Calgary, Alberta, New Orleans, and northern Seattle. But next summer, for anyone who wants to join me, we're going to be doing an event called Beach Bind down at Hedonism 2 in Jamaica. And I'm listing this ahead of time because people might want to budget and come on down for the sandy yumminess.
Yeah, that sounds like a good way to combine many of your vacation loves into one exciting event.
All of the things. We're going to be dressing as mermaids and tying people up out in the ocean.
Yes. All right. So we're, say that name of that event again, Lee.
Beachbind.com.
Beachbind.com. Okay, great. Excellent. Thank you so much, Lee. I think that's a great note to end on tonight. So thanks for coming and talking about your book. Everyone should check it out, Traversing Gender, Understanding Transgender Realities. Let me close you out and tell you a little bit more about Lee. Thanks for being on here, Lee.
Absolutely.
Lee Harrington is an internationally known spiritual and erotic authenticity educator, gender explorer, eclectic artist, and award-winning author and editor on human erotic and sacred experience. You can read more about Lee at passionandsoul.com, and you should also follow him on Twitter at @passionandsoul. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible, including Tristan Taramino, of course, who will be back next week. We will have Rachel Kramer Bussell, who edited the Best Women's Erotica, and we'll have some authors from that collection who will be sharing as well. I also want to thank executive producer Karen Dana, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, and Matt, my engineer tonight, and everyone at Voice America. If you missed any part of the show and want to hear it again, you can listen on demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. You can also subscribe to it as a podcast on iTunes and leave us a review so that other people will know to find us and listen to 4 years of shows. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, hit us up on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio and at Tristan Taramino. Have a great week and don't forget to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.